We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio broadcast today. Do want to let you know, last night we started our Refresh Brevard 2016 Holy Spirit Emphasis Week with Bob Fisher. Tonight we are taking that night off, but we will be back Friday night and Saturday night at 7 p.m., and then Sunday morning at 10:30. We encourage you to come and be a part of any of those services that you can. If there's one thing that is evident, it is that we are in desperate need of Jesus here in America right now. And as Christians, we are in need of as much power and presence of the Holy Spirit as we can possibly avail ourselves of. And so thank God he gives his Holy Spirit without measure. I like that verse that says that. I do want to remind you, one of our sponsors is Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. They help bring this broadcast to you on a monthly basis. And so if you are here in Brevard County from south to north, if you've got a mobile home or a regular home, they work on both of those types of units. If you want your heater checked out before the cool weather gets here, they do that. If you need electrical repair, they do that. They are very, very good at what they do. Give them a call, 632-9538. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They can get you fixed up. And right now, this is one of their slower times of the year. And so if you want something addressed in a timely manner, now would be a good time to give them a call, 632-9538. So let's get into the Word today. We're in Isaiah chapter 45, and we're going to finish this psalm, or this passage in Isaiah, this chapter. I continue to do that, referring to Isaiah as psalms, but we're gonna deal with Isaiah, the 45th chapter today. We've got a few things to touch on there, and then we're going to pretty much skip over a few chapters, and we might touch on one passage, and then we'll move on to the next one. But let me take you to Isaiah 45, and we'll begin reading at verse number 11 today and go down to verse number 14, even though we've already covered verse 11. Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands. You command me. I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hand, stretched out the heavens and all their host I have commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my cities and let my exiles go free. Listen to this. Not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature, shall come over to you, and they shall be yours. They shall walk behind you, they shall come over in chains, and they shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you, and there is no other, there is no other God. So again, we're talking about Cyrus here, and I do want to ask you to be praying for the elections, that God would cause the person that would be best for America to be elected into that office, and that they would rule and reign in integrity and righteousness, that they would surround themselves not with political operatives, but that they would surround themselves with men of wisdom from heaven. When righteousness is exalted in a nation, that nation is lifted up. And so we want righteousness to prevail in America. I know that it's not politically correct. I know that there is not huge lobbying firms with millions and millions of dollars to throw around like some people with less than righteous motives. But we want America to be a representative of a righteous nation once again. So in verse number 13, well, in verse number 12, God establishes his credentials as the one who made the earth and created man and stretched out the heavens and all of the heavenly host. He commands them. So he's establishing his credentials. He says, now look, when I do something, I do it very well. I do it on a grand scale. I'm very good at what I do. Then he says this, I have raised him up in righteousness. This is referring to Cyrus again, well before he is ever born. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city. So if you remember from previous broadcast, it talked of the things that God would do even though Cyrus did not know him. I don't believe that this is saying that Cyrus was necessarily a righteous person, but that God had acted in righteousness. I have raised him up in righteousness. Now there were men like Daniel, who was very influential with Darius, and this was the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians here, so there was a more unique governmental setup at that point in time than had existed under the Babylonian Empire. So he says, I've raised him up in righteousness. Now, understand that Darius would later have people contact him and say, these people are rebelling against you. It would not be in your best interest to allow the construction of Jerusalem to continue. And then the people in Israel said, you know what? This was under the decree of Cyrus, and Darius had a search made and found that it was so, that Cyrus had issued this decree and that it was to be funded out of the royal treasury. And so Darius reinforced everything that Cyrus had decreed. It was going to take place. And so I want you to see today that what God does, he does with right motives. He never manipulates for deceptive means or personal gratification, if you will. He does it because it is the right thing to do. And so Cyrus was raised up in righteousness, and it says, I will direct all his ways. God says, I'm going to be in charge of his agenda. I'm going to be in charge of the things that he hears about. I'm going to be in charge of the things that he does, the places that he go. I'm going to direct his ways, and he shall rebuild my city. So just like Solomon's temple wasn't built by Solomon, it was commissioned by Solomon, it was ordered by Solomon, it was negotiated by Solomon, the contracts were signed by Solomon, the same was true with Cyrus. Cyrus never lifted a hand as far as the construction process itself goes, but it was under his decree and under his authority. So I want to take just a moment to talk to you because I like to bring real life issues into these situations. And this is something that a lot of people struggle with. And that is, at some point in time, you have to learn how to delegate. You have to learn by leading, by assigning to those around you the task that they are skilled by God to accomplish. A pastor friend of mine, I was in a workshop again. I know him, he knows me, we're probably more of acquaintances than we are friends, but he said this, that whenever you insist on doing something else that God has gifted and called another person to do, you have stolen the opportunity from them to utilize God's gift in their life. Not only that, you are depriving yourself of being liberated to act with the authority and the giftings that God has equipped you to do. And so it doesn't mean that you can't run over there and do it in an emergency if it needs to be done. It means there needs to be a delegation to somebody who's gifted. So, you know, if I were to build a house, I there would be people I would call. First of all, I would call Jets Concrete and have them do the foundational work. I would call Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, and because I like to utilize everybody that I know, I would have them come, and I would have them do the electrical, and I would have Creative AC Solutions. I would have them do the air conditioning, not because that one does better than the other. I just want to utilize everybody with their giftings. And so I know that there are, I've been around some people that they couldn't delegate because they insisted on it being done exactly their way. And they micromanaged people to such an extent that they weren't freed up to do their job. You want to be more efficient in life, you need to learn how to delegate. And so Cyrus says, here God says, you're going to rebuild my city and you're going to let my exiles go free. And that was one of the things that happened. There was an actual invitation that went out that says, everybody wants to go, you get to go. You want to go rebuild the wall, you get to go rebuild the wall. You want to go rebuild the temple, you can go rebuild the temple. And I will say this, that when the exiles went free, they were free to return. Nehemiah, if you look in that book, you will find that he wanted his king that he served to know that God was a protector, and so he didn't even ask for a security detail. He said, look, if God's bringing us back, he is going to keep us safe. So I pray that everything that we do, that we look at it as an opportunity to testify to the goodness and the glory of God. So when God gives you the gift of faith, I encourage you, go ahead and proclaim that, speak it out, and say, you know what? This is what God is stirring in my heart, and this is what I believe is going to take place. He says, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to have Cyrus do these things, not for price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. In other words, he wasn't doing it because there was a campaign contribution coming his way. He wasn't doing it because of a bribe. He wasn't doing it because someone had paid him off. He wasn't doing it for anything like that. He was doing it because God had placed it in his heart. I believe that when you are in need of when a church is in need of a pastor, that the wrong approach is to go out and say, you know what, this is the amount of money that we are going to use to try and entice you from the place that you are serving to come to the place where you are at. I don't believe that that should be the motive behind why pastoral changes are made. There's nothing wrong with pastors being compensated, and I thank God, you know, that Merit Assembly of God takes care of us. I talk a lot about how it was when we came at the beginning without a salary and anything like that. But I want you to know that as the years have gone by, that Merit Assembly of God, they do a tremendous job in taking care of pastors. So what I wanted to share with you is, I'm not, you know, there's some churches that say, God, you keep him humble and we'll keep him poor. That's not the mindset. That's actually contrary to Scripture, where it says that the person who serves in leadership should be considered worthy of double honor. That's what it says, that you're not supposed to muzzle the ox as it's treading out the grain. There's supposed to be something in it for the ox's needs to be met as well. So with that being said, what would be the best way to approach a person? And that is, hey, pastor, we believe that God has spoken to us that you should be our pastor, and we want you to know that we've got this many people that are committed to praying for our pastor. We've got this many people who are ready to take the bull by the horns, if you will. They're ready to do the work of the ministry. They are praying for God to give us the leadership and the vision that is necessary to impact our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are ready to be about the Father's business. That is what is should be the motive, because we are a spiritual people. We should have spiritual purposes, and we should be pursuing spiritual goals. I don't know who that's for. It's not for, you know, it's not because anybody is out there trying to get me to leave Merit Assembly of God. I'm very, very content with where God has placed me. I'm just telling, and maybe, you know, I'm sharing that with somebody who's not in the ministry, but there's somebody who's trying to lure you away from one company to another company, and they're trying to do it on the fact of a bigger raise. I can tell you this from personal experience: with more compensation comes more responsibility, which comes with a heavier burden. And I've seen it before where companies came into town and they tried to lure salespeople from one department store, get them to another department store, and then as soon as they got there, they burdened them with these huge, huge sales quotas that no one was meeting. And then if you didn't meet the quotas that they assigned to you, then they let you go. And then you've not only left the old job that you've got, but now you're kind of in wilderness land. So Cyrus wasn't doing this for personal gain. Verse number 14, thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and merchandise of Cush. He goes on and he basically says, what I am going to do is I am going to cause people to come under your dominion and under your domain just because you did it for me. You didn't do it for your own personal gain. As a result of that, I'm going to cause people that have been waging war against you, I'm going to cause them to be defeated, and they are going to make this declaration: surely God is in you, and there is no other, there is no other God. Wouldn't it be awesome if we did things simply because God put it in our hearts to do it, that we didn't do it for our own prestige or our own fame? Do you realize that when you're funding a project out of the royal treasury, that means that other areas that you would have spent that money in are now going to have to be set on the back burner so that you can do this thing that God has said? And God said, by the way, I don't owe any man anything. I know that you didn't do it for this, but I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. Those I call to do something, I don't make them wage war at their own expense. I am going to make sure that you are taken care of. A lot of times people are sitting down and they look at all of the natural reasons that they cannot do what God has asked them to do without seeing that when they step out in obedience to God, that there is going to be supernatural resources that are going to come in that are greater than what the price that they sent out was. I'm telling you, you and I, we cannot afford not to obey God. We have to obey him. Look what God has done. Now drop on down here, because there's two more points that I want to share about in today's broadcast. In verse number 22, it says, look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him. In the Lord all the descendants of the earth shall be justified and shall glory. So God says, look to me and be saved. Look to me and be saved. First of all, there's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus. You cannot work your way to salvation. You cannot earn your way to salvation. You can't worship another God sincerely and it result in salvation. It has to be God. God is the author of salvation. He is life. He is truth. He is the only way to the Father. He says, look to me, all you ends of the earth. It is not just, this invitation is not just for the Jewish people. It never was. the Jewish people were chosen as God's covenant people that would result in Jesus being birthed of Mary, dying upon a cross. He was the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. It says in the scriptures, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Okay, so it was always God's intent to minister to the people all across this globe, that they would look to him as salvation. And so as you and I, as the people of God, begin to walk in obedience and people begin to see the anointing that is upon our lives, that as people begin to see God not only accomplishing what people said could not be accomplished, but rewarding in the process. And look, I don't believe that we should go around looking like we've just been baptized in lemon juice. I believe that we should go around reflecting the joy of the Holy Spirit and the peace that comes from knowing God. All the ends of the earth, he said, there's no other God. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. When God speaks, he speaks truth and he speaks in love. He doesn't wait until after the fact. He speaks to the situation before the fact, and he says, the word has gone out of my mouth. It is not coming back. I'm not going to retract it. God never says something, and then he says, oops, I really wish I wouldn't have said that. Now, I've said that, you've said that, but God never has to say that. He knows the beginning and the end and the process in between. So the word goes out of his mouth in righteousness, and it shall not return. When God speaks, it says his word never returns void. It always strikes its mark. It always accomplishes its purpose. Now listen to the word that God has sent forth. That to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath and shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. In the New Testament it says, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is a day that is coming, whether it's while you are alive and breathing on this earth or after you perish, and then you come to the reality that God was exactly who he said he was. There is a day that is coming when your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. It is not a matter of if you are going to do that. It is a matter of when. Are you going to do it now by choice? Are you going to do it as early in life as possible so as to reap the greatest rewards from his lordship and your confession of faith? Or are you going to wait until you have suffered and you've hit the end of your rope and then cry out and say, God, you are Lord, you are my only hope, and I've messed things up so desperately. God, I now recognize that I was wrong, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. Both of those two options are good. One is better than the other, and we tend to sensationalize the people who've hit rock bottom and come, and I'm not here to trivialize either one, but I'm here to tell you that the best testimony is to, as soon as you can, as early in life as possible, to recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ. Now, God is a God of forgiveness and a God of grace, and so I'm not trivializing that. But there is one third option, and that is not good, and that is that you wait until after you've died, until after the season of grace has passed. You wait until your eyes behold him in all of his beauty and majesty and power, and at that point in time, you recognize that your knee will bow and your tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and then you will be removed from his presence. That option is the option that Jesus came to die to prevent you from having to utilize in your life. Don't wait too late. You never know. I watched videos during the hurricane of a tree that was upright, and a second later it was flat on the ground. It came crashing down, and when that happened, I saw just how quickly that happened, and people could die from being crushed in a tree, because there's no way, if you were hiding under that tree, that you would have been able to run at such a pace that you would have been able to escape. I mean, it just, the ground completely gave way. Next point, because we're just about out of time. Surely in the Lord I have righteousness and I have strength. There are too many people who they adopt the mindset that I'm going to wait until I get myself cleaned up and get myself presentable, and that's when I'm going to come to God. And I will tell you this, you can't cleanse yourself. Recently I was working with some roofing tar. Wasn't working on a roof, but I was working with some roofing tar, and I was rolling it on an object with a paint roller. And I was being so careful, and I looked down, and in fact I really wasn't intending on getting too dirty. And I have various stages of shoes. I've got lawn working shoes, and I've got roofing shoes, you know, for dealing with roofing cement. And then I had my good tennis shoes, and I didn't take any time to consider that I was still wearing my good tennis shoes. And I looked, and all of a sudden there they are with roofing cement all over them. And I tell you what, there's some things that you can try and clean, but you are never going to get the stain out. But there are substances that will remove residues that water simply can't. There are substances out there that are better than elbow grease, and working really hard to try and get it out of the fibers. And I'll tell you that the only thing that creates righteousness is the blood of Jesus Christ. My closing thought for today is this: surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. I want to speak this to you today, and that is this: God intends for the men of God and the women of God to be people of strength and fortitude and strong courage. You, with God on your side, are more than enough for the task that He has set before you. Do not fall for the devil's lie that you are weak, that you are just there as the devil's victim, that you are a born loser. I want to tell you today that God wants to impart to you mental strength, spiritual strength, physical strength. He wants you strengthened for the task that He has placed before you today. So whatever you're facing today, go in the righteousness of God, go in the strength of God, and be victorious in all He's put your hand to do. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."